Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
I noticed an awful lot of theaters canceling performances, classes, and so I know Spike, your husband, is theater guy, maven, aficionado, all that, expert. So maybe you could talk a little bit about the theater impacts in detail a little bit more. I don't know. I feel like that's a big part of theater and dance, the visual performance stuff that you normally think of as being on stage with an audience. I guess I should probably have said symphonies too, large bands, you know, not just the touring musicians, but the bigger, I don't know what you call those, more symphony. I don't know. Anyway, what do you think?
The ones that have like a home base, like the ISO.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for filling in my brain gaps.
Yeah. No, I think you honestly have hit a lot of the impacts, which are something that is normally done face-to-face, how do you do that online, especially if it involves multiple people. And so, yeah, I think the types of classes that you might learn, an acting class where you have several people standing up acting together and the director maybe pops in and says, well, why don't you try it this way?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could still attempt to do some of that through something like Zoom, but they might say, okay, maybe today we're going to talk about how to analyze a play to understand your character better, or maybe how to write a play. And so maybe the sort of thing that is effective is different.
Yeah.
So there still could be lessons online, but maybe what is chosen is different. There are apparently types of these video conferencing where the camera will automatically follow you around the room. So that could be really beneficial if you are a dancer or you're moving and acting around in a scene. Now, I do not have that tech. But apparently,
stay in my chair. Thank you very much. But yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
So okay. Yeah, it does change the physical manipulation. Just can't happen.
Yeah.
It's much more of, can that teacher just visually see, okay, dancer or actor, what I'm seeing from your body is this, and then can I show you and you mimic it? Can I tell you how to change what you're doing?
Yeah.
Some of those physical things, I think, are a lot harder, whereas before you could be like, okay, move your hand this way.
Right.
And you could just, adjust. Right.
You know, something you said made me think of, back in the day when exercise videos on VHS were so popular, And I'm wondering if theater professionals, dance professionals, if they're turning to that kind of, I don't want to say format, but those kind of videos had a certain style, and granted, for most of them, it wasn't usually just one solo instructor. There was usually people doing it too, but there were a lot that just had the solo instructor. And I'm thinking, that's a format that could very, very easily be adapted to dance and maybe some theater stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
That's probably like Captain Obvious again. Somebody else has probably thought of that a million times, but that just popped into my head because I was remembering my mom used to do the Jane Fonda workout videos, back in the day. So, that kind of thing, maybe that would help some of the dance instructors out there to think about just trying to film some, one-on-one dance instruction videos. I don't know. I'm not a dancer.
I suspect it's probably happening. I know that there is a yoga series that I get on Amazon Prime, and one of the most charming moments, because it's a one-person instructor, is there's a cat that's kind of wandering.
Well,
I imagine that's going to be what starts happening with classes from home, is random things coming through.
I know that makes me laugh because I'm thinking of our backgrounds. We've always tried to have these neutral, generic backgrounds when we do our At the Roundtable. And I'm wondering if it's okay to let that go in this pandemic era and just show whatever's on the wall behind us, or, you know, going into the next room, you know, because at the round table, for those of you who don't know, is my dining room table in my home. It's a big 5 foot, you know, round butcher block, 2 inch thick table. And that's our at the round table. That's where we record all this. And we've put up things on the walls so you can't see what's on my walls, you know. And I'm wondering if maybe we just let all that go and we just don't care what's behind us when we're doing, when we're reaching out, you know, to people and trying to connect through this pandemic situation. Maybe we should just let it be, you know. I don't know.
I support this in
theory. I know.
I really want people to see what my apartment
is. I know. I feel that way too. It's like I put makeup on today, you know, in case our video works out. It's like I'm wearing makeup, okay, and earrings. And I don't remember the last time I wore makeup and earrings. So you know, but maybe we'll just have to let ourselves have a pass every once in a while. You know,
right.
We'll
and
see.
I think that's a debate that a lot of people are having, even from just the general work at home. Yeah. How much can we let go and relax?
Exactly.
This is sort of our still representation.
Representing a company, yeah. I mean, and that's a lot of people have signed contracts, you know, that includes guidelines and rules for representing that company professionally. And so, yes, I mean, I feel like I'm not quite in that position because, you know, you know, I know there are a lot of people out there who are still representing professional, you know, organizations and businesses, and they may have pajama pants on underneath the desk, but they got, you know, the nice clothes on top. Yeah. So, yeah. Got to have some humor, right? Got to have some humor.
Absolutely. So if it's okay, I would like to shamelessly plug an online event that I'm hosting.
Yes, please. Okay? Yes, please. Okay. Shamelessly, yes.
So you mentioning all the in-person cancellations that we've had, Poetry Society of Indiana traditionally has a spring conference one day. We call it Spring Fling.
Yes.
And, of course, we had to cancel that because it's happening in just a few weeks from now.
April 25th was our beautiful date. Yes, yes.
Yep, it just wasn't the right time.
No.
We needed to be socially distant. The library we were going to have it was going to be closed anyway. And so I decided, well, I would like to still have some sort of gathering. It isn't going to replace the Spring Fling, but it does at least allow us to gather as a community of poets and creative people.
I'm a member of PSI, so I want to know all about this. Give me the details.
So 5 years ago, when I released Waking Beauty, my book, I did a Facebook event that was a book launch, and it was a lot of fun. And so I'm using this as my model for what's going to happen.
Okay.
Or I'm calling it the social distancing, social media, social for poets.
I love it.
So it's the online event. By the way, anyone, regardless of being a Poetry Society of Indiana or PSI member,
okay,
anyone is welcome to be part of this.
Okay, so it's going to be public because our Poetry Society of Indiana, the members pay a membership fee, you know, it's a nominal, it's fine, but I'm happy to do it. Everybody's happy to do it. But this event that you're talking about is open to the public.
Open to the public, free. All you have to do is have a Facebook account.
Okay.
And so that means that if we have anyone who is younger than 13, A, they're not allowed to have a Facebook account. B, that generation isn't on Facebook as much.
Exactly.
But they could hypothetically have a parent with them.
Right, right, account. Okay.
But anybody who has a Facebook account can join in. And you just go to the Poetry Society of Indiana Facebook page. It's listed under our events. Just click that you are going or even just interested. It will send you reminders. And
okay.
At 1:30 to 3 o'clock on April the 25th, all you do is pull up the event page, and I will have a series of posts, and it will be different activities that we're doing. So, for example, we usually at Spring Fling have the winners of our Manningham Student Poetry Contest come and read.
Oh, sure.
And so we are going to at least publicly honor and acknowledge them. The winners of our Spring Fling contest, this is a poetry contest for our members.
Right.
They're going to be announced.
Now, let me stop you right there and ask a question. Yes. If, for example, any of the Manningham, I never say that right, the Manningham or the members who have entered that membership contest, if they are in the event, if they've joined in, if they're in, you know, watching it, would they be able to read their piece or something like that? Is there possible?
The reason why we're not doing that is part of the understanding when they submit it, especially for Manningham, would be that the winners are then published as part of Ink to Paper, which is a hard copy.
Oh, right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that's the difference between an online public event versus what we could have done when we were just a small group of 40 people or so. And so we won't have the reading of the poems at that time.
Okay.
Because we don't have the permission.
What about for the membership contest? Will you read the winning poems for that? Because
at this time, that is not part of.
We don't usually do that at spring. We don't usually read those in the moment.
Well, we've only had the contest 1 year. This is the second year.
Yeah.
But we only did the announcement of the winners, as I recall, last year. So,
yeah, I remember that because I think I got an honorable mention. I was so excited. So, yeah.
But we do want to, again, be very careful of copyright. And some artists, you know, they might want to say, okay, I placed in that contest. I do want to resubmit it to a different contest.
Sure.
You know, polish it up a little, maybe. And so we're very much respecting what were the terms of the original contest.
Sure.
And not reading those unless they gave us permission.
Okay,
already.
Good to know. Yep. All right, tell me more.
Some other things that we're going to have, our keynote speaker from the Spring Fling, although he can't give a keynote address, Curtis Chrysler, he is going to be stopping by and telling us about his current projects and giving away a free signed copy of his newest release, Indiana Nocturne.
Oh, that's wonderful. How nice of him. Yay!
Oh, yeah, he's donating that.
Adapting to the digital virtual necessity of pandemic stuff. I love it. That's wonderful. Well, how great for you. This is wonderful that you've put this together for us, because as a member of PSI, I love our conferences, the Spring Fling, and the Fall Rendezvous. I just love them so much. They are so inspirational and so just wonderful to attend and be part of that group. And so to be able to have something of our Spring Fling this year is just, oh God, it's just wonderful. I'm really looking forward to it. I've got that on my calendar. So, and I'm pretty sure I clicked, you know, going, so I should get my notification that I'll be there. So yeah,
and
I'm excited.
Again, anyone who wants to join in, it's Poetry Society of Indiana on Facebook. Just go to our Facebook page, and it's April 25th, 1:30 to 3:00, but you can come and go as you please during that time.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's just great. Yay! Thank you, Sarah E., our premier poet for Poetry Society of Indiana this year. Yay! This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.